Welcome to Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls. On Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls, we explore the issues of family life, professional life, and improving our mental health by integrating the principles of psychology with the Catholic understanding of the human person. Hello, my name is Art Bennett from the Alpha Omega Clinic and Consulting Services. Our topic today... What is our topic today? Welcome to Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls. On Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls, we explore the issues of family life, professional life, and improving our mental health by integrating the principles of psychology with the Catholic understanding of the human person. My name is Art Bennett from the Alpha Omega Clinic and Consulting Services. Our topic today is moving from anger to love and charity. And our special guest is Dr. Lisa Klawicki. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Klawicki.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here.
Our pleasure indeed. Now, Dr. Klawicki has a master's degree in theology and a PhD in clinical psychology, both from Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California. Currently, Dr. Klawicki is on the faculty of the Institute for the Psychological Sciences in Arlington, Virginia, and has a private practice seeing individuals, couples, and families. She's also a mother and a wife.
Yes.
Not in that order, right? Okay, great. Well, Lisa, thanks for coming back with us here. And the topic today is one that's, I think, extremely important because there are a lot of angry souls out there. There's something about our culture that sometimes it seems like the options are to be either depressed or to be angry. Certainly there are other options that we must exercise to overcome that. Today we're talking about anger. Talk to us a little bit, before we get into love and charity, talk to us a little bit about how we've gotten in this position that there are so many angry people out there.
Yes. Anger comes out of, is a surface emotion. And it comes out of deeper emotions, being hurt, being frustrated, being oppressed, basically from being treated unequally. And people feel like they're being oppressed, feel like they're being put down, they're not being given the place that they want, they're not being given the dignity and respect that they want. It also comes out of a place of wanting and desiring power. And when people aren't given power that they think they deserve, they think is rightfully theirs, they become angry. And so our anger comes from a place of inequality and power, as opposed to the way God created us, which is a place of equality and out of service.
You've talked to us about this in other shows you've been on, how this comes really from Genesis, right out of Genesis, the sense that men and women are equal. And you're saying, right out of the gate, you're saying any compromise on that sets up a situation to cultivate anger.
Yes.
So the sense of mutual equality is critical here in kind of undermining the growth of anger in our culture.
That's true. That's true. Anger promulgates hate, and hate, as we see, promulgates anger and violence. We have many forms of hate crimes that occur in our society, and that comes out of that same place of feeling unloved, feeling unaccepted, but more than that, feeling like one is lording over you, that one is exerting power over you, as opposed to maintaining authority out of service, but out of power.
So in marriages or relationships, then, when kind of power becomes one of the key themes, then one of the prices that's going to be paid is someone's going to be angry.
Someone's going to be angry. And we have two things. Either we're angry and we hold it in which case we get frustrated, we get angry, we get anxious, we get depressed. We sometimes will have physical ailments as because we're holding in so much anger and hatred. And the other side of that is people who then go outward with it. They get angry and they lash out physically. They shoot people. They hit people. They start all kinds of rumors and gossip, that there's an outward lashing of that anger and hatred.
But before we talk about the alternatives to anger, there are instances, are there not, where anger is justified or where that's the appropriate response for a situation. Is that right?
Absolutely.
So it's not always neurotic to be angry.
No. When one is has suffered at the hand of another, it's natural to become angry. What we have to look at is the response to anger. Anger is not an unnatural feeling. what becomes unnatural is our response to it. And we have a choice here. Are we going to act like animals who instinctively, physically lash out, or are we going to integrate reason and faith into our response and act out of love and charity, which is how we're created to be?
So our desire to lead the moral, virtuous life, I guess we must acknowledge that our feelings are morally neutral.
Is that right?
They aren't necessarily good or necessarily bad.
They are
just what they are. The key part in developing our personality or building ourselves as a person is how we respond to those feelings. That's kind of where the rubber meets the road. That's where we're displaying our identity as a person.
That's correct.
But if a person's angry all the time, let's say a person is in an oppressive situation where one is treated unfairly. You can easily imagine an adolescent or child being in that situation,
right,
and sometimes even spouses. Let's say one's in that situation. Should one then just be angry all the time?
One could take that role, which we often see. The problem is that then comes out in other areas. Right? Those are the kids who either become the clown in the classroom, trying to get attention and affection, or they become the recluse in the classroom. They're off in the corner by themselves. Or they become the bully, right? The one who's always acting out, the rebel without a cause, if you will. And so that's one option. That's an option that many have chosen, partly because we don't understand any more than that. What we need to do here is understand that anger is a surface emotion. I refer to it as an anger mask. And anger masks all of our other deeper vulnerabilities. And so I will talk about anger as being similar to a fire, right? A fire, starts with a little spark, right? A little spark, and that spark grows and grows and grows, and the more you fuel it, the bigger it gets, and the more it takes over, until at one point it's out of control and you can't do anything about it. Anger is the same way. Anger will start with one little spark, and the more we fuel it with more anger and more resentment, and the more we let it grow and grow and grow, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it's completely out of our control and that's all we function in. And so part of what we've got to do is get rid of that fire. And a little mnemonic that I use is, we all know the stop, drop, and roll idea. If we're on fire ourselves, we stop, we drop to the ground, and we roll to put out that fire. We need to do the same thing with our anger. We need to stop, drop, and roll. And the first thing we do is stop ourselves. And that's a real cognitive technique. Just being able to say, no, stop. Right? To stop the anger, to stop the reaction. The next thing we have to do is we have to drop our anger mask. So we have to talk a little bit about what that is. The third thing is we've got to roll with the underlying emotion, not the anger. Our anger mask is something that we put on to cover up our vulnerabilities, to cover up deeper emotions. And we'll talk about that when we get back.
We're talking to Dr. Lisa Klawicki. The topic today is moving from anger to love and charity. She's talking about how anger masks other feelings and emotions. She'll go into that in more detail. You're listening to Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls. We'll be back to you in a moment. You're listening to Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls, brought to you in part by the Alpha Omega Clinic and Consulting Services. Our goal on Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls is to offer practical advice from Catholic mental health professionals on how to resolve problems and live a happier life in concert with God. Our topic today is moving from anger to love and charity. Our special guest is Dr. Lisa Klawicki from the Institute for the Psychological Sciences. Now, Dr. Klawicki, you've talked about anger, and that's such an omnipresent problem in our culture today, but you were saying last segment that it's actually a mask hiding other things. Can you talk a little bit more about this anger mask?
Yes, it's an anger mask. Anger is in some way a socially appropriate emotion to display. Right? You're not weak and vulnerable if you're angry, at least it seems that way from the outside. It's also an emotion that when it's displayed, it keeps others away. It serves its function, which is to protect you from vulnerability. The problem is that when we act out of anger without understanding the deeper seated emotion that's triggered, then we're fueling that anger. And as we said before, as the more we fuel it, the bigger it gets, the more out of control it gets, and it takes over our lives. We become angry, negative people.
So what's an example where you're seeing anger, but really it's masking something else?
Gosh, everywhere.
Everywhere.
Okay. Yes. We see it everywhere. I think a lot of times we see anger masking other things when something at the extreme would be criminal behavior. I think sometimes criminals will act in that way because they're really hurt underneath, or they're embarrassed, or they've been shamed. And so they've learned to put on this rough exterior, kind of the bully in the classroom idea. They're typically, the bullies in the classrooms are typically the weakest and the most vulnerable people in the class.
Hmm.
But they are so afraid to allow that vulnerability and that weakness to be seen that they put on this very rough, hard exterior. And so an idea here is that we need to look at what's underneath that anger mask. What was the emotion that was really triggered? Was it a sense of being hurt by another being? You know, it hurt me when you said this or when you did that. Is it a sense of being shamed? I was shamed by an experience. Is it a sense of embarrassment? I was embarrassed, right? For instance, I had, when I was working at the hospital, one of the patients has walking through the cafeteria and he dropped his lunch tray. And the whole cafeteria started laughing and pointing at him and making fun of him. And he got angry. And his anger response was then to pick up chairs and start throwing chairs. Well, being a psychologist, guess who got to deal with him? Right, they strap him down, bring him into a room, and they put me in this room and say, "You go figure out what happened." "Great, thanks." So I walk in and I said, "What happened?" He says, "Well, they all were yelling at me," and I threw my chair. I said, "Yeah, but what happened before that?" "Well, I dropped my tray." And I said, "Well, what happened when you dropped the tray?" "Well, I got angry." I said, "Why did you get angry?" He said, "Oh, what do you mean, why? I don't know. I just got angry." I said, "Were you feeling a sense of embarrassment?" "Oh, yeah, exactly. That was it. I was feeling embarrassed." And instead of saying, "I'm embarrassed," and pick up your stuff and sit down and come talk about it, he got angry because it was too vulnerable for him to see the embarrassment.
So you're pointing out, it doesn't, in this case, which is a fascinating case, it doesn't just mask